We have been, over the last several weeks, taking a look at what the Word of God has to say about spiritual gifts. We've talked about these gifts that are referred to throughout the Bible, what they are, where they come from, who they're for, all kinds of questions like that. One of the most important things about receiving a gift, and this is what I want to talk about today, one of the most important things about receiving a gift is knowing how to use it. So you'll see that I've titled today's talk, Where Are the Directions? You get a gift, you open up the present, and if you're smart and it's something you don't recognize, you have to ask, well, where are the directions? I need to know how to use this. I remember a few years ago when I got, as a present, I got an iPad. Pretty cool present, huh? Yeah. Somebody loves Danny. I got an iPad, and this was several years ago. It was the brand new iPad 2. Okay, so I was pretty hot stuff, I don't mind telling you. I got the iPad, and I started using it, and exploring it and just having fun with it. And I remember at the time, my grandmother was alive and lived alone. And I remember as I was learning how to use my iPad, I remember thinking, man, grandma would love this. Let me tell you a little bit about my grandma. Grandma loved to play games. And I remember thinking about that iPad, man, she could play her favorite games on this iPad. Grandma loved to watch movies. I remember thinking we could get Grandma a Netflix subscription. She could watch all her favorite movies. She could watch whatever old movies she wanted to watch, whenever she wanted to watch it, right here on her iPad. Grandma loved her family, and we weren't all local. We weren't all in the area. How cool would it be for Grandma to have an iPad? She could FaceTime her grandchildren anytime she wanted. I remember thinking an iPad like this would make an awesome gift for my grandma. But then wisdom came upon me, and I recognized that an iPad like this would make a terrible gift for my grandma, because grandma would never have learned how to use an iPad. It would have become a coaster. She would have kept her crackers on it and occasionally served a drink off of it, because grandma wasn't technologically, what's the word? Thank you, I'll let you use your word there. It would have made a terrible gift for grandma, because when we give gifts to people, they got to know how to use them. And if we receive gifts, we have to know how to use them. How many of us have ever gotten a gift and unwrapped it and said, oh, it's lovely. What is it? And a gift that we don't know how to use is a useless gift. We need to be careful to read the directions, and I believe the same holds true when we talk about spiritual gifts. Fortunately, the Word of God serves as the directions for our spiritual gifts. The Word of God tells us not only what spiritual gifts are and how they come to be, but it tells us how to use them and what that looks like. And so as we look at God's Word and we ask ourselves, where are the directions? How do I use spiritual gifts? The first thing we're going to find is this. The gifts should be used in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we read from this text last week, says this, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels, now we recognize that that was one of the things Paul described as a spiritual gift. He says, if I do that but don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Then he says, if I have the gift of prophecy, that's something else we recognize as a spiritual gift, right? Some of these are miraculous gifts. He says, if I do that and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, there's something else we recognize as a spiritual gift. He says, but if I can do all of that, and even if I have a faith that can move mountains, there's another gift. If I have all of these things but do not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. He's referenced a number of things that we talk about in spiritual gifts. And as I told you a week ago when we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this passage, this great passage about love, it goes on to say love is patient and love is kind. We hear it read at weddings all the time. But Paul wasn't really talking about weddings at that time. He placed this passage about love right between two of his greatest explanations of spiritual gifts. It's almost as if Paul was saying, I want to tell you about spiritual gifts, and he got into talking about them. But he said, time out. We need to back up here because I want to make sure that we don't miss the point. As we operate in these gifts that God has given to us to be used in the church, as we function that way, I need to remind you that the most important part of how to use your spiritual gifts is it has to be done in love. It's like Paul is saying, look, I don't care how good of a teacher you are. I don't care how strong of a leader you are. I don't care how able a servant you are. I don't even care how amazing the miracles that God chooses to perform through your life are. None of that matters if you aren't using your gifts lovingly. If you aren't using them lovingly, then you aren't using them right. And chances are you're doing more harm than good. So instruction number one, the gifts should be used in love. At the same time, we need to acknowledge that the gifts should be used in order. When I say in order, I don't mean like first this one, second that one, third this one. I mean in an orderly fashion. The gifts should be used in an orderly fashion. Now we've looked in the last several weeks several times at the book of 1 Corinthians. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul has written to the Christians in the city of Corinth. So they are the Corinthians. And a lot of what Paul says about spiritual gifts in the entire Bible comes from this book, 1 Corinthians, comes from his letter to the Christians in Corinth. And the reason that he had so much to say to the Corinthians about spiritual gifts, you might think, oh, didn't they have any? They must have needed some instruction because they didn't have any. But on the contrary, the reason he wrote is because they were actually a very, very gifted group of people, and God was moving powerfully in their midst. But boy, they just had no idea how to make that work. They were not following the directions properly, and that's why Paul gives them so much instructions as to how the spiritual gifts are to be used. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says this. He says, what shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together? And he begins to describe the gatherings. Listen to the kinds of things he says. Each of you has a hymn. He's like, Carmen and Lissy, get up and sing a song. Great. Each of you has a word of instruction. Pastor Dan gets up and tells people to sit down and do this and things like that. He says, but then there's revelations. He says, there's tongues. There's kind of these miraculous things going on. And he gives them instructions about how those are supposed to work. And he says, it has to be done in order. It can't be chaos. He said, I don't want you screaming over one another. And we get this picture that their worship gatherings were mayhem. And all of these things, he says, no, that's not how the Spirit of God works. He actually says, two or three people should speak, and the others need to weigh what's being said. And if a revelation comes to somebody who's sitting, wait until the other speaker has finished before you. Don't just yell on top of somebody else. He's giving them very, very specific instructions about how this works. He says, you can all take your turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Then he says this, listen to this. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. He's saying, you guys are in control. You're in charge. So when God is working through your life, don't abdicate control. Don't just go into chaos. Don't just go into mayhem. Keep control and function in an orderly fashion. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. And it's this way in all the congregations, he says. So we know that applies to HRCC too. This isn't just the Corinthians. See, here's what's going on here. When we operate in our gifts, when we experience the rich beauty that is spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit pours upon his people, when we operate in our gifts, Paul's saying, guys, you're still in control. You are still in control, and you are responsible for how you act. Miracles are not mayhem. Miracles aren't mayhem. God is a God of order. So if someone, for instance, were to be, maybe God was doing a miraculous work. Maybe somebody had a word of prophecy. Maybe somebody was speaking in another tongue, or something miraculous was happening in our midst, and it was disorderly. And they said to me, Pastor, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, you know, but if the Spirit of God came over me, there's nothing I could do. Well, Paul says, actually, that's not true. That's not how it works. The Spirit that comes over you is still going to work through. You are in control, and you need to make sure that you operate in your spiritual gifts in a way that is orderly and in a way that is edifying and encouraging and helpful to the whole body. So that, you know, Pastor, it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit. Don't look at me, you know, don't blame me, it was the Holy Spirit. Well, that just doesn't hold water scripturally. So God is not a God of disorder. God is a God of peace. God is, let's affirm this, God is powerful. He is absolutely powerful. God is, he's mysterious. Let's affirm that God is unsearchable and unknowable. He's mysterious. God, yes, sometimes unpredictable. Absolutely. It doesn't mean that it's always got to go the way I planned it out to go. Those things are absolutely true. But at the same time, let us recognize that God is not a God of chaos. God is not a God of confusion. God is not a God of disorder, because things like that are absolutely inconsistent with his character. They're just inconsistent with his character. So when we operate in according to our spiritual gifts and the way God is enabling and equipping us, we need to do so in a way that acknowledges the character of God and our submission to his character. Speaking of character, the gifts should be used with humility. In another one of his letters, the letter to the church in Rome, Paul writes this in chapter 12. He says, "For the grace given to me, I say to every one of you." Are you ready for this? Because this is blunt. Are you ready? "Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. By the grace of God given to me, I say this to you." Sit down. You know, it's kind of like, don't think of yourself too highly. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. But rather, think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. And then he goes on to talk about their spiritual gifts. And he says, different ones of you, church, we've already talked about this. Different ones of you have different gifts. And I'm equipping and I'm gifting you in different ways. Okay, but you need to recognize that a big part of why I have done that is because I have called you together. And Paul, when he says, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought, he goes on to talk about how you're one body. You've come together. You are one body. All of you are different parts of one singular body. Just like we remembered when we shared communion together earlier this morning. This is one body that has come together, and we are a part of it. He says, so don't think of yourself as any better or any worse, but exercise humility in how you use your gifts. He says, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And then he goes on to explain what that looks like in terms of the spiritual gifts. Folks, here's the deal. I don't go to church. And let me explain what that means. I'm not talking about showing up at 10:15 on Sunday morning. When I say go to church, I don't really mean like attend the worship gathering on Sunday morning. That's great. But what I'm talking about is I am the church. We are the church. We come together. I have not chosen to commit myself to this community. Do you understand what I'm saying? I haven't done that because I'm the pastor. Okay, that's not what motivates me to be a part of this community. I haven't chosen to do it because I'm the pastor. I haven't chosen to do it because God will be mad at me if I don't. I haven't chosen to do it because, you know, I was raised a certain way and I kind of can't cope with the guilt if I skip church too much, you know? I mean, those are reasons that we sometimes feel like are the real reason that people go to church. But let me tell you what the Bible says about that. These aren't the reasons that we gather on Sunday morning. That's not why I'm here. I'm here today because I need you. I'm here today because I need you. And secondly, I'm here today because I belong to you. I don't belong to myself. I'm a part of the body. I don't have the prerogative to say, well, I'm just going to kind of do my own thing. That's not my choice to make. The Word of God makes it very clear that when I understand spiritual giftedness, I have to understand that I belong to you. I'm yours. And so that's why I'm here today. And that's why I'm present in this community. And that's why I'm a part of this experience, specific to this congregation, but also in terms of the global and universal body of Christ. You see, I'm not the body. You know what I am? I'm a foot. or maybe an earlobe, or maybe that dangly thing in the back of the throat that nobody really knows what it is. You can pick whatever part you want, but I'm just a part, and I can't exist, I can't survive, I can't have value on my own. See, I come in humility to the body of Christ because I recognize that I need every one of you in order to be whole. I need every one of you in order to be whole, in order to do what God designed me to do. And that's what Paul says about spiritual gifts. When we operate in the gifts, I'm a teacher, so learn from me. This is the wrong attitude. He says we need to operate in humility. Why? Because the whole reason I have that gift is so that I can function in the context of the body. I belong. I belong to the people I serve. When I use my gifts in community, it is not so that I can get compliments. There ought never to be an ego trip when we use our spiritual gifts. It's not, let me do this because I'm awesome at it, and if I do it a lot, you will tell me how awesome I am, and I will feel better about myself. No, what the scripture says is we use our gifts in community with each other because we belong to each other and because we need each other. And so we come with humility. We acknowledge to use your gifts in the community is to acknowledge that you're nothing on your own. You're nothing on your own, but you are dependent on the body of Christ. So humility is important. But let's look at the other side of that coin, because sometimes I think we don't always get what humility means. I think we have to acknowledge, and the Bible tells us as well, that we can have humility and we can have strength at the same time. And the gifts should be used with confidence, not just with humility, but also with confidence. 2 Timothy says this, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Listen to this. "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid." Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. "It does not make us timid, but gives us power. It gives us love. And it gives us self-discipline." Think about what self-discipline looks like. Strength with discipline. I mean, that's really what confidence is about, right? Strength with discipline. And then Paul says this to Timothy, "So don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed." Church, as you discover the way God has gifted you, and as we together discover the way God has gifted us in community with one another, let's operate with confidence. Let's not be ashamed. Are you a skilled leader? Then lead and be confident about that. Are you a skilled server or a skilled administrator? Then do those things and do them with confidence. Are your gifts along the line of mercy or care for one another? Are they prophetic? Are they miraculous? Whatever they are, then operate in them with confidence. There's a reason to be confident about that. I remember when I was a kid, and this is going to be one of those in my day stories. In my day, we didn't have super soakers. You know, like when a kid today has a squirt gun, it's a super soaker, and they can do some pretty serious damage. You know what I'm saying? Like water-related damage. In my day, we didn't have super soakers. A squirt gun was a squirt gun. It was just, you know, with a little wiki, wiki, wiki. And if you were anywhere within like 2.5 feet, you would get a little bit damp. You know, that's kind of how squirt guns worked back in the day. And so in the summer, I was just thinking about this yesterday because we had like our first real summer weekend, right? So in the summer, you know, I can remember with my buddies, we get our squirt guns together and a bucket of water. And like, that's the other thing, like one bucket of water would last us like a few hours because of
wiki, wiki, wiki.
You know, and kind of that thing going around. We'd run around and squirt each other. And then one year on my birthday, somebody bought for me a squirt gun that was, I think it was like the forerunner to the super soakers. I had this, like, it looked like a little submachine gun, and it had a hose on that went to like a fanny pack that you would put on your belt. And it said on the package, I'll never forget this, shoots up to 30 feet, which I never found to be remotely true. But it got to like a good 10 feet. And, you know, maybe a cup of water would come out of that thing. You know, so all of a sudden, in our squirt gun games, my buddies would be running around, squeaky, squeaky, you know, like this. And I had this, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And we would have these squirt gun wars. And I can remember with this new present that I had, I was dynamic on the squirt gun battlefield. I mean, I was a force to be dealt with. And I was never the fastest kid growing up, and I was never the sneakiest kid. And when it came to athletics, that was never my deal. But now, in squirt gun battles, I mean, I was large and in charge, is what I was. I could really do some damage. And it changed my whole world. Well, my whole squirt gun related world, anyhow. In that when we would play, I wouldn't have to run from the other kids. I could just stand back and blast them, you know? And it just wasn't fair, is what it was. But here's my point. I was awesome at that. But it wasn't because I was awesome. I was awesome because of the gift I had received. And because I understood how the gift that I had received worked, and I knew how to operate it, I could do so in confidence. When my buddies would be running around with their little squirt guns, I didn't run away from them anymore. I just blasted them. You know, I could be confident in it. I could stand confidently and no, I got this. I got this. But it's not because I was a better squirt gunner. It was because I had a gift that worked really, really well. We need to think about our spiritual gifts in that vein. You see, once I understand that whatever spiritual gift it is that I have, or operate with, once I understand that that gift isn't really mine and it doesn't come from me, it's something that God gave me, well, then I can use it with confidence. I mean, isn't that a different way than the world looks at abilities and the world looks at talents? It's not about me. It's about what God has given to me. And church, that ought to be a source of confidence for us. It's born of His strength. It's not born of mine, which leads me to my last point today. The gifts, they really should be used in God's strength. They should be used in God's strength. The Apostle Peter wrote this. He said, "Each one of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." But then look at what he says about that. He says, "If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength that God provides. Not my strength, but I serve in God's strength." And I think it would be fair to elaborate that through other spiritual gifts, that when I operate in the gifts, I don't do it out of my strength, my talent, my knowledge, my ability, but I recognize that God is the source of those things. We need to be careful to do this, church. We need to be careful to not confuse spiritual gifts with talents. Okay? To the world, I think it might look very, very similar. Spiritual gifts, they're just talking about talent and abilities. And yes, there's a fair amount of carryover in what that might look like, but there is a spiritual source to giftedness that is drastically different than, oh, he's a talented guy. She's a talented girl. Talent is something that's from within me. I mean, there might be a kind of an unknown, I was born this way quality to talent, but it ultimately finds its source in who I am. But spiritual giftedness, that finds its source in who God is. Spiritual gifts are something that are sourced from God. Now, yes, it's my responsibility to cultivate that gift. We talked about that last week. I talked about learning how to teach, learning how to serve, learning how to do the different things that God has gifted us to be able to do. Absolutely. I'm not denying that responsibility at all. But I'm still ultimately learning how to do something that finds its source in the power and in the strength of God. And that is a very, very different thing than being a talented piano player or a good basketball player. One of which I am and the other I'm not. I'll let you pick. So here's the deal. When you're called to show mercy, do you hear this? When you're called to show mercy, mercy is a spiritual gift. When you are called to show mercy, don't show your version of mercy. Show God's version of mercy. Make sure it finds its source in His character, not yours. When you're called to encourage a brother or a sister in Christ, when you're called to encourage someone, Don't encourage them like you or I would encourage them. Encourage them like God would encourage them. When you're called to discern, to make a decision, a difficult decision, the Bible refers to that being one of the ways that God might gift us. Don't use your best judgment. Don't try and decide what you think the best thing to do would be. Recognize discernment as having its source in God and strive to see things the way God would see them. If you've been called to lead, I don't care, like we said at the beginning of this, I don't care how good of a leader you are in the business place or in the community, this or that, but if leadership really is a spiritual gift of yours, don't lead from that resource. Lead as Jesus would lead. Lead as God leads us. Spiritual gifts need to be used in God's strength, not ours. Church, we need to wrap up, and this is what I want to say in conclusion. I want us to use and to celebrate our spiritual gifts. I'm talking to HRCC now, and I know we have a lot of guests today, and that's great. I'm glad you're here. But to those who consider this to be their primary spiritual home, I want you to hear your pastor say today, I want us to explore and deepen our experience in the spiritual gifts. I want us to be, could I say this, to just be better at this, to learn, to grow, and to recognize what God is pouring into us. I want us to read the directions and not, you know, like grandma might have done, use the iPad for something that it wasn't meant to be used for. I want us to have all the functionality of the gifts because I believe that's what God wants for us. But to do that, we've got to use them well, and we've got to read the directions. Church, when that happens, power of God will be made evident in our midst to ever-increasing measure, and God will get the glory for that. And that's what we want. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our midst. I thank you, Lord, that as we talk about spiritual gifts once more this morning, we can acknowledge that this is not hypothetical. This is a wouldn't it be nice if. Lord, we're saying two things. We're saying, on one hand, we want to grow in this area and we want to do better. We want to learn and develop a different kind of maturity. But on the other hand, God, we want to come and celebrate what we already see you doing in our midst. I thank you that you have declared just in this congregation, in this expression of your body, that there are teachers and there are apostles and there are prophets, just like Ephesians says. And you've poured your spirit into others in different ways and given us gifts of mercy and encouragement and hospitality. And Lord, you've given us gifts. I'm convinced that you've given us gifts that we don't even know how to articulate, but we can look around in our midst and say, I see the Spirit of God at work in my brothers and sisters. And Lord, we rejoice in that today. Father, help us to be a people who would read the directions and put these things into practice. Help us to be a people who would recognize the way you're moving for your glory and for the sake of your great name. And everyone says, amen. Amen.